Amen. Well, today is, what's today? March, no, February 17th, right? So you might be thinking, what am I going to speak on? Well, I've been married for 3 months and 2 weeks, so I figure I pretty much know everything about marriage. So I was going to speak on that today. Obviously, all the married people knew that was a joke. Let's go before the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, God. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for a free opportunity to come and worship you, to gather together, Father God, that we don't have to do it in secret, Lord, but that we can openly come and worship you, Father God. We thank you for that physical liberty in the country that allows us to freely worship you, Lord. We do not take that for granted. And Lord, we thank you for the spiritual liberty we have in Jesus Christ to come and worship, Lord God. We thank you that you have made a way for us. You have made a passageway for us into your throne room that we can gladly and happily and joyfully come unto you, Father God, worshiping you, Lord God. Lord, as I speak today, just use my mouth, use my tongue, Father God. Speak through me. Let me just be a vessel that overflows for you, Father God. A cup that overflows. Let me come from a place and position of overflowing, Father God. And dear Lord, I just thank you, Father God, and I thank you that I know that when your word goes forth, it does not return void, Father God, but it is a seed sown, and that you bring the increase, and it is watered, and it grows to full fruition. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. But nonetheless, marriage, a component of marriage, or the main component of marriage, is obviously love. I'm going to talk about love. I figure, you know, that's appropriate. Three days after Valentine. Either you had a great Valentine because you had a significant other, or you were part of the Lonely Heart Club. So, one of the two. Me and Jesse, we started CrossFit. Anyone know what CrossFit is? It's a type of workout. About 3 weeks ago. And I showed up Thursday morning. We take the 5:15 class. 5:15 a.m. class. And so, I showed up there. It was me and two other people, and it was all men. I said, well, I guess, you know, ladies had to get a lot of their beauty sleep in. All the ladies that we work out with must have dates that night because they weren't getting up at 5:15 like they usually did Valentine's Day. But all right, 1 John chapter 4. You there? We're starting at verse 4. We want to read. It says, "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them." Them being those spirits of Antichrist in the previous verse. "You have overcome them because greater is He," and that's the Spirit of God, "that is in you than he that is in the world." Verse 5. "They that are of the world, they speak, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and know God. He that loveth not, know not God, for God is love." That's where I want to start, is verse 7. It says, let's read verse 7 again. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God." In our walk as Christians, as believers, you know, we come from a stance and a belief knowing that when we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth, that we put our faith in action with the promises of God, those promises are yes and amen. Amen. But we have to, at least for me, we have to constantly check ourselves. Why are we operating in these promises? Why am I operating in and putting my faith into this action? Example, prosperity. We know there's nothing wrong with prosperity. There's nothing wrong with goodness and riches. Even though it's very popular in the world today, and politically, it's very popular to demonize people that have done well. That's just the truth. It's popular to do that. But we know that if you're from a place of substance, you have more substance to give. And so that's my reasoning to know that Philippians 4:19, "For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in and through Christ Jesus." Well, why am I believing that? Because before I can feed the hungry, I have to feed my wife.
Amen.
But God says, you're worse than an infidel. Infidel's a God hater, an unbeliever. You're worse than an infidel if you can't provide for your own family. God's not going to call you into a position and a place to where he has to pull out of you to take away from your family. God doesn't do that. God's a good father.
Amen.
Amen? So you have to be from a place of substance. You have to be, that's why it's so important. You've heard the pastor talk about debt, not getting in debt. It says in Romans 13:8, owe no man nothing but to love him. That's the importance of not having debt. When you have debt contract, when you have an obligation to someone that limits your ability in the physical realm to help other people. Because from your substance, that paycheck you're getting, you've already obligated portions of that paycheck to other people. You can't, and God's not going to say, I need you to give all this paycheck and you be a defaulter on your debt. Children of God don't default on debt. Well, one, we don't operate in debt. But if you're in debt, get out of it. Amen? So, and I know I'm 22. I know I don't have much life experience, but trust me, I've grown up in the church, so I got 22 years of spiritual experience. Okay? So I'm not speaking from a place of haughtiness. Really. I'm really not. I'm coming today in love and speaking these things. So we're of God. We operate in love. God is love. Anything that you would call love should be and has to be synonymous or the same as God.
Amen.
Okay? So I spoke on some of this, and our Wednesday night people might remember this.
Amen.
I spoke on some of this a few weeks ago when I filled in for my dad. But we use the word love a lot. We use the word love. Well, 3 days ago it was Valentine's Day. And so we use the word love a lot. And for example, I love my wife. I love cheeseburgers. I love my guitar. And I love sleeping. Okay? Now, I just used the same word for four different instances, four different areas in my life, four different things or people. But I don't think my wife wants to be on the same pedestal as the cheeseburger, guitar, or sleep. Right? But I use the same exact word. Okay? Well, we have to restore that integrity of the word love. What is love? Well, love is God, because God is love. If you're in a situation, if you're in a relationship, whether it be a love relationship, business relationship, family relationship, wherever it is, if someone claims that they love you, if they're not building you up, if they're not encouraging you, if they're not bringing the best out of you doing what God does, that's not love. They're operating out of something that's been perverted, and in a perversion, it might be for like a relationship between a man and woman. It might be out of lust. Or like, you might really like some. I really like cheeseburgers. I don't really love cheeseburgers. I mean, let's be serious. It's a half pound meat. It can't do anything for me. Right? Right? That says a lot about my eating habits. Half pound's where I go. I don't do the quarter pound. I jump right in the half pound. Now, I have to be honest. Who goes to Fuddruckers? I love Fuddruckers. I love anywhere where I can get what you're supposed to get at a restaurant, like a cheeseburger. And then they have a bar that says, now you can put anything and as much on it as you want. So, and I love salads. So by the time I get my seat, I have a cheeseburger with literally a salad sitting on top of it, falling out. And I have to eat everything else that falls out with a fork, you know. But we operate out of love. We operate out of the love of God. Because we're born of God. We've experienced the second birth. We've experienced what Nicodemus couldn't understand in his mind. It wasn't renewed yet. He said, wait a minute, a man has to go through the womb again? Jesus said, no, you're born of the Spirit. First birth is born of water. The second is Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And the way you were born is through love. That's this whole transaction started that way. For God so loved the world. His whole premise, his whole reasoning was because of his love. So we see we've overcome things in this world. As I said, verse 4, it says that we as children of God have overcome them, that them is spirits of Antichrist. And when we hear that word, we think of lots of, well, we think of Book of Revelation. We think of writings and movies about Antichrist, Mark of the Beast kind of stuff, right? But spirit of Antichrist, that's anything that operates against the Word of God. That's anything that operates outside of the will of God, because it's opposite of Christ. That's what anti is. So we've overcome these things. Well, what are these things? What are these spirits of Antichrist? Well, it's hatred. It's anger. It's resentment. It's grudges. It's unforgiveness. And so that's what I want to share today, is those spirits, those things, they are poisonous. Jesus said, he said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now understand, sometimes that doesn't make as much sense to us as it would to his audience. Remember who Jesus was talking to. In Israel, even if you didn't do it for a living, you had something growing. You were growing something. But the main job in Israel was agriculture, growing something. And when Jesus made that statement, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, he knew the audience he was talking to, they knew that just a dumb farmer, I mean just an okay farmer, knew to put up a fence around his crop, big enough to keep big animals out. But the point that Jesus was making was, it's the diligent farmer that he knows, yeah, put up a big fence to keep out his neighbor's oxen so it doesn't come through the crop. But it was the good farmer that didn't focus here. He focused down here, where those little holes were, where the foxes could squeeze through and spoil the vine. See, it's easy for us to talk about sin, what I like to call easy sins. We know don't murder. I mean, none of us are going to go outside and shoot someone. I mean, if you have that inclination, please stay. We're going to pray with you. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's some big sins that are easy to talk about. Adultery. We know that's wrong. Okay? We know those things. Fornication. We know that's wrong. It's those little things. It's those little things we don't like to talk about. Those are the things that are poisonous. Unforgiveness. Hatred, anger, resentment. It's those things that build up in your heart and can take place in your heart for absolutely no reason. I mean, think about it. We're all guilty of it. But you could be in a situation where you and someone might have a disagreement. Might have, you know, a disagreement about something. It doesn't have to be a big something. And the next time, if you dwell on that throughout the week, about, oh, I had this argument with this person. Why were they arguing with this? Why was I arguing with them with this? Don't they understand my way is the right way? Don't they understand I got it figured out? Okay, and you think about that. You dwell about that on the week, throughout the whole week. Next time you see them, they might not see you. They could just walk in church, walk to the bathroom. And I'm over here, and I expect them to see me 30 feet away. They didn't talk to me. Why? Oh, they didn't talk to me. I knew it. They hate my guts. That's it. I knew it. And then that's a seed. That's a place for resentment to rise up. That's a place for unforgiveness to rise up. We walk in love. We operate in love. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that love is born of God knows God. Amen. So we operate in love. We operate in love. Let's turn to Genesis 1, verse 26, what we're going to look at. Amen. Love never fails, amen? It says that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Believe that. Accept it. It's truth. It's Word of God. Love never fails. If you're doing something, you're calling it love, and it fails, it wasn't love. Because love doesn't fail. Genesis 1, chapter 26. And God said, let us make man our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creep upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he him. Verse 28. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move upon the earth. Verse 26 is what I want to stay at, where I want to stay at. It said, let us make man in our own image. When we look on people, any person, when we see them, we should see them through Christ's eyes. We shouldn't look at that person and see their wrongs and their faults in order to hold it against them. When we look at people, we should see the possibility and the potential of God living in them, whether they're believers or not. I mean, because we're operating in the love of God. Because when we look on people, we see how beautiful they are. We see the potential inside of them. Because someone had to do that for you. Before you came to Christ, And before you were translated into the kingdom of God, that's how someone saw you. When you were in sin, when I was in sin, people were praying for you because they knew you could be more than where you were right then and there. Brother Anthony said something last week. He said that when he sees brothers and sisters in Christ hurting, doing wrong, operating in a place they don't need to be, it hurts them. As believers, that's how we operate. That's how we act. Because the love of Christ is inside of us. When we see a believer that's not in a place or position that they know they're not supposed to be, that they're holding unforgiveness, poisonous unforgiveness inside of them, I mean, it changes the way people act. It changes people's character. You can see that. And that's one of those little foxes. I mean, it's easy to see, know someone's a murderer because they're on the night news at 6 o'clock. Okay? But unforgiveness or things like that, those little foxes that creep in, well, it slowly changes people. Bit by bit, one step, one step, one step, and there's slowly difference. Okay, wait a minute, something's up here. And as my obligation as a believer, I'm going to see the image of God in them. I'm going to say, you know what? That's God's child. I care for them. He's the same Lord and Savior that died on the cross for me. That blood was shed for them, and I will not take it for granted. I will do my duly obligation as a servant of the kingdom of God to love on them, to give them happiness, to encourage and empower them through physical talking, conversation. The Bible says when we have fault with a brother, we go to them. One-on-one, one-on-one. If something else doesn't work, then we go with the elders. And then if they're still operating out of sin, then the church confronts them. But so many things, church divisions and things that happen in the kingdom of God can be stopped with one-on-one, loving on someone. Hey, we're all people. We're all imperfect. We all mess up and do things, but grace covers it. Love covers it. Love covers a multitude of sins. We got to operate in that love. I can't say love covers my multitude of sins, but I'm holding you accountable for what you did. You can't do that. That's just poisonous unforgiveness. And I was actually reading about unforgiveness. Annette Capps, Charles Capps' daughter. She was talking about unforgiveness. She said, which is worse? Taking a few large doses of poison throughout the course of your lifetime or taking small doses of poison every single day for all your lifetime? It's those small doses. Because those small doses are going to build up, build up, build up, build up, and they're going to do damage over, repeatedly, over and over until it brings death. That's what Jesus is talking about. Those little foxes, they're slipping in the holes. See, when we operate, we see the image of God. Turn with me to John 5:19. John 5:19. See, we see the image of God. We know that God created Adam and Eve in His image and His glory, that He walked in the cool of the day with them, talking, walking, had a relationship with His children that He created. They fell in sin. They did wrong. They did open injustice toward God. They broke the law that they had to not eat of the tree of good and evil, of knowledge of good and evil. But what did God do? He created a means and a method for a relationship from there through the entire Old Covenant. He created sacrifice and He created a priesthood for men and women to seek God and still have this resemblance of a relationship that Adam and Eve had. Well, that wasn't enough because God loved them too much. God loved us too much. So He sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ. And let's look at John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also do the Son likewise, that He is the Father there. So what things soever the Father does, these also do the Son likewise. Verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and make them alive, even so the Son makes alive whom He will. That's our obligation, that's our requirement as a believer, to fulfill the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't do anything that he didn't see his Father do. He didn't say anything he didn't hear his Father say. He was a complete, literal personification of the Spirit of God, moving, walking, talking, acting in the flesh in the way in which God taught him, showed him, directed him. We as believers, when we walk in love, the ultimate one single primary principle and purpose of God to issue and walk in a decree of love, we're doing what Christ does, what Christ did. We operate out of love. So back to what we were talking about. When we see a brother or sister that isn't where they need to be, whatever reason it be, we go to them one-on-one. We interact with them one-on-one. We love on them. Because just as God wasn't satisfied with an old covenant, Old Testament relationship through sacrifice and priesthood, he sent Christ to love on people, to bring help to the sick, to raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, to freely, as you freely receive, freely give. That's the same way we operate. We can't just say, well, I see my brother and sister, they're inhibited by their own personal, you know, actions. But nonetheless, they're inhibiting their spiritual walk. They're decaying their spiritual walk. I can't sit here, I can't stand off like an old covenant, Old Testament relationship. I can't be separated from them. I have to come love on them. I have to come in love as Christ would. Love on them, as I said, in actual interaction, physical interaction, and intercessory prayer. I believe in intercessory prayer. I mean, there's some things in life that are too big that won't come down unless you steadfast believe and pray and stay in the promises of God, commanding those situations that be not as though they were, as we were taught in Hebrews, and just confessing the Word of God. I mean, it's not going to move. You have to make a dedication and a deliberate action to see things change. And I can be honest with you. There's some things in my life I'm praying for. There's some things I prayed for. When me and Laura got engaged, we got engaged 6 months before we got married. Before I asked her to marry me, what I had to do, I had to talk to Mr. Grady Langston, her dad. And now this gentleman, he very wonderful, wonderful father-in-law, very loving. But he's a good father-in-law. So what does that mean? Sometimes I'm scared of him, right? I mean, he's a good father-in-law. When I came to pick up Laura on our first date, I walked inside, and he gave me that look. Of course, now, what did I do? I put on my best clothes. Now, when I say best clothes, I worked out twice Friday, right? And I put on the shirt that fit real good, right? And there's a shirt where it had like a little button strap on the sleeve, so it made the sleeve tight. So if I reached for the door, I was flexing. Anywhere that I was trying, the sleeve was cutting off my circulation, so it's like, okay, all right, okay. I got a haircut the week before, because I didn't want to look like I just got a haircut. I got a cut a week before, that way it'd grow in a little. Had my hair done right. I walked in, pulled up in my pickup truck. The first person I saw was Mr. Grady. He walked inside. I was getting out of the truck, taking time walking in. Him and his wife, Miss Beth, they were in there washing their hands. They'd been outside working. And he gave me that look. Now, fathers that have daughters, you know this look. Because you might not have used it yet, and you will, or either you have already used it. But you know this look. It's that look, boy, what are you thinking? I mean, I see right through you. You're walking in here, I know how much time you spent looking at yourself in that shirt. He gave me that look. He said, and I mean, he didn't have to say this or prove anything, but he said, let me wash my hands. I got to shake your hand first, and we'll talk. So he washed his hands, and he shook my hand. The way he shook my hand is like I said, he didn't say it, but he shook my hand, and what I got from it was, if you try one single thing with my daughter, I'm going to take that shirt that looks, that you think looks good on you, rip it off, put it around your neck, and choke you out. I've never told him this. But that's how it was. But, you know, we started this dating relationship. We fell in love. And so when I go to ask Mr. Grady, I got to ask Mr. Grady if I can marry Laura. I mean, that's what I'm doing. You know, you got to do that. So I'm driving. I just decide, all right, I'm going to get off work. I'm going to drive. Now, this is, you know, almost like 2 years of dating. So I decide. So I know him real well. I decided, well, I got to go talk to him. I knew Laura wasn't going to be home, so I went and talked to him. I was driving over there. Now, this is the serious part, but I was driving to Laura's house to talk to Mr. Grady about asking, have his blessing to ask Laura to marry me. And I was just praying. And like I said, this is the serious part, but I was praying. I said, Lord God, I love you, Father God, and I know you bless this relationship. This woman, you've brought her to me. Because you got to realize, there was a point in time where I quit dating for about a year and a half. Because I was doing too much of my own work in dating. And this is a truth. Her name's Kelly Swisher now, but Kenneth Copeland's daughter, Kelly Copeland, well, now I say Kelly Swisher, she said, she taught on dating, she said, every time you date someone, you're going to change. Either better, you're going to change for the better, because that person's encouraging you, empowering you. You're going to change for the worse. You're going to change to meet their standards. And so I quit dating for about a year and a half. I said, Lord, I'm not going to date. You send the girl to me. And he did. And so I'm driving. After 2 years dating the Lord, I'm driving, you know, shaking. Driving to go talk to Mr. Grady. But I said, Lord, I understand that you provide for me in all things, not just money, not just paycheck, but you provide for me in all things, in joy and peace and courage and health and life and liberty. You provide for me. You are my source. And I'm driving down the road. And I just break out in tears. And I said, Lord, now it's more than just me. I mean, as of right now, I'm quote unquote a man because I'm over 18. But as of now, I'm in my Father's household. I'm under that authority. I'm under that household. But when I step out into marriage, I have created my household. I've created my position, which then it is my responsibility to care for my wife. It relies on me. All the obligations fall on my doorstep. And I said, Lord, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. I couldn't do it with you before, but now, I mean, it's a big deal now. I mean, I can't joke around now, because if I do, that's how marriages break. And so I said, Lord, I need you more now than ever. And I just felt this calm come over me. I just felt this release of love come over me. And me and Laura started praying. You know, she's in school, I'm the only one working. We started praying, believing. Well, we got a home. It was Mr. Grady and Miss Bess. It was a rental home. We had an opportunity to remodel it. We remodeled it for a year's worth of rent. Praise God. Don't have to pay a year's worth of rent because we remodeled it. A lot of that value we created was by work ethic. We walk into a home. We come back. Well, we walk into a home after our honeymoon, completely furnished. We didn't buy anything. We had the furniture given to us. It was new furniture. We had our entire kitchen was furnished. Praise God, we got more pots and pans we know what to do with. We could use every pot and pan and not wash it and go for a whole week before we have to wash pots and pans. And we got towels galore. If you need towels, we got towels. But, I mean, that's a big deal. Because I went to a place and position of where the refrigerator, this is one example, the refrigerator, I don't know how it happened, why I do now. Before I got married, there was something magical about the fridge at Mom and Dad's. Anytime I wanted something to eat, I opened up the fridge, and it was there. And about once a week, it magically replenished itself. I don't know what they were operating, what law of God, but I mean, it just miraculously, what I had eaten a week ago was there again. I now know that that law they were operating in is called groceries. So you know, we come to this place and position. We got normal bills people would have to pay that we're not paying, because we were interceding. We were praying through God, and we were blessing other people as it happened. I mean, we had other friends get married, so we blessed them. We gave them what we would want to get. We didn't use a gift card somebody gave us to go buy them a gift. I mean, we gave them something out of our own substance to give unto them, to bless unto them. And so, back to operating in love. The way Christ operated in love, he loved on people the way God instructed him. He was an example, and for which we are to love on people, which we are to believe in people, encourage people. Jesus never was a backbiter. He never tore anyone down. Now, he spoke to pride and Pharisees. He spoke to the unbelief in the Sadducees. But he never said, you're a dummy. He never said, what you did was stupid. He never said, you could be a disciple, but we'll try. I mean, I don't know if you're going to be a good one. No, he went out. He called fishermen, tax collectors, a physician. He said, you come with me. Because he saw what they could be. So we read, let's turn to John 14. Flip over a few chapters. John 14, and we're going to start with verse 20. John 14, verse 20. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keep them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now let me read that out of the Amplified Version. It says, at that time, verse 20, at that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. Verse 21. The person who has my commands, keeps them, is the one who really loves me. Whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And I will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. We keep God's commands because we love him. Let me say that again. We keep God's commands because we love him. We don't love God because of the commands we keep. This is not a legalistic law. We're in the New Testament of grace and mercy and love. We're not bound by laws to the extent where, in order to have a relationship with God, we have to keep all these laws. That was Old Testament. Old Testament people, the Israelites, they were set apart physically by what they did. Their very clothes were different because they couldn't mix certain kind of threads and wools. So they looked different. They had tassels on their clothes. They looked different. The way they sacrificed animals was different. So they had a relationship with God through what they did. We have a relationship with God because we love him, and it changes what we do. Let's turn to Ephesians 5 and we'll end there. I see time slipping away from me. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 1 is where we're going to start. It says, be you their followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. We're to walk as Christ walked, imitating God. It says to imitate God as dear children. When we walk in love, we're imitating God. We're imitating God in his very realest being, because God is love. When we love on our neighbors, when we love on those people that might not necessarily, quote unquote, deserve the love, but at one point we didn't deserve the love either. But when we operate, we love on people, we give to people, we say, you know what, that person's worth my time. I know I have this schedule, but my person's worth that time, because when I take out my time to help them, invest in them, it's going to make them a better person. It's going to build that person up. David was anointed to be king like a year and a half before he became king. I mean, David was anointed to be king. Saul knew he was anointed to be king, and Saul set out to kill David. And David had an opportunity to take Saul's life, but he didn't, because he understood that place of where Saul sat in authority of a king. So he waited. He waited. He served where he was. Even after Saul tried to kill him, Saul and David would make amends, and David would still serve the king. He would still do what was right. That's how we operate. Even though someone can come against us, even though someone can hurt us, even though someone can act out of love, out of anger, act out of anger, not out of love, we still serve that person. Because we are servants, just as Christ was. We serve that person. We build that person. We believe in that person. We speak into that person life. We pray over that person. If you have someone that's hurt you, pray for that person. Someone that's come against you, pray for that person. Because we're all people. If someone's come against me, I probably had something to do with it. You know? You might not have. It don't matter. Pray for that person. Pray for yourself. Pray for that person. I'm telling you, when you take your prayer time and you put it on other people, you take your prayer time to first, you know, praise God, and then just start praying for your brothers and sisters, it's going to change your world. Instead of complaining about your circumstances, pray over your circumstances and see it happen. Word of God's true. We accept that. Love never fails. Love never fails. It is an absolute reality. If we're walking in love, operating in love, I don't know how long it might take. It might be instantaneous. It might be a day, a week, a year. It doesn't matter. That person's worth it. Because that's a person. Jesus Christ died for that person. Whether they know it, whether they walk in complete opposite arrogance of it, whether they do know it and they're walking in disobedience, that person's still worth it. That person's worth the love of God that was poured on them. Let me read you this and I'll bring it to a close. And I borrowed this from Kenneth Copeland. It says, your spirit is just as big as God's spirit because you're born of Him. As a child, I had the same capacity for my strength that my father had. I had just as many muscles in my body as my father did. But when I was young, I was not as strong as my father. Why? Because my muscles had not fully developed. I was still growing. I had all the components of a full-grown man, bones, muscle, organs, etc., but I was not yet a man. How my muscles developed depended on how I treated my body, how I nourished it, or how I destroyed it. I could have built up my body or tore it down as I chose. We have a choice for our spirit with the capacity to grow in faith, hope, and love. Now the love of God is put into your hearts. And I'll read this. John 17:26, the Amplified says, I have made your name, Jesus is praying this prayer to God. He said, and so Jesus says, I've made your name, the Father, known to them. Revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known that the love which you have bestowed upon me be in them, felt in their hearts, that I myself may be in them. The never failing love of the Father has been put in us through the Holy Spirit, and is shown an example by Jesus Christ. So we're to be rooted and grounded in love. Everybody say rooted and grounded.
Rooted and grounded.
One more time. Rooted and grounded.
Rooted and grounded.
One last time.
Rooted and grounded.
In love. We're to be rooted and grounded in love. We are to be the feet of God's love. T.O. Osborne made a statement. He said, God needs your flesh. What does that mean? God needs you to walk in His Word, to be Jesus Christ, to be what Christ did, to continue the ministry of God. God needs you to do that because you're the flesh on earth. You're the sons and daughters of God that will walk out in those promises. And so we're to be rooted and grounded in love. In Ephesians 3:14-19, it tells us about the love of Christ. And I'll read from there. If you're still there, you can read along with me. But verse 14 says, "For this I know, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God, the Holy Spirit, all that God's presence and glory is made manifest through His love. That is the beginning criteria of the child of God. Walk in love. Act in love. Because when you walk in love, act in love, when your heart is set on love, you see people the way God sees them. You see them beautifully made in the image of God. When you walk in love, you see the promise of health as it is. Because God loves you so much, He doesn't want your physical body to hurt. When you walk in love, you see the reasoning for prosperity. Because I'm blessed to be a blessing. I've been sown into, I've been given to, so I can bless other people's. I've been shown worthy, as the talents, the parable of the talents was. I've been given little, shown worthy of that, so I can be given more to help more people. T.O. Osborne, his daughter, LaDonna Osborne, is on a mission trip. They're going, I think I'm saying it right, Cote d'Ivoire. Cote d'Ivoire is having a civil war right now. And over 1 million people have been displaced out of their homes. Their homes have been burnt and damaged and gone and obliterated. And they're already in a country filled with poverty. And so they're refugees in the capital of Cote d'Ivoire. And LaDonna Osborne, the Osborne's ministry's response is, we're going to go there and preach. And I love the Osborne ministry because they've never been afraid of circumstances to preach the Word of God. You know, T.L. will minister and he'll say how people tell him, you can't go into a poor country and tell them that God wants to bless them. Because that's hard. That's hard when you don't, when you're not operating in love, when you're not operating in faith, to understand that. Me and Laura, we said, you know what, I read it, I got this email, I told Laura, I said, you know what, they're giving this number, they're saying that such and such amount of dollars will support one person. And it wasn't much. But they said, they gave a figure that would support 100 people in Cote d'Ivoire. And what Osborne's ministry do, they have their own publishing presses and printing presses, and they print gospel materials. And so they say, if you give this amount, 100 people will be provided with materials of the gospel. You say, well, how's that going to help someone hungry and in need? Well, they're going to feed them. They're going to help them. But they're going to change their mind. They're going to renew their mind. They're going to minister the gospel of Christ. And in a place where civil war is happening, where brother against brother is killing each other, they're going to teach love. They're going to say, the brother that you have hate and angst against, that brother is made in the same image of you. That brother is made by the same Father God, and the same Father that you serve loves on him just as much as he loves on you. And so they're going to encourage and build people. So we sowed in that ministry because we know we could be the feet. Like I said, it wasn't much, but for us it was you know, it was noticeable, but in our budget. But you know what? We're going to be the feet. We're going to sow ministry into that people because we believe those people. We believe, you know what? They're in civil war. They're hating each other right now, but we believe in them. We believe that the Word of God is bigger than that circumstance. All right. Amen. I'm going to finish here. I know I already said that once. I'm going to finish in John 15. This is like, first time I've spoken in a good long while, so you got to cut me some slack here. Amen. I'll come back next year, and then I'll talk on love, because then I'll be 13, or I'll be 15 months or 2 weeks in, of marriage. I'll talk about marriage next year. Then. John 15, verse 7, where we want to end. And we did this on that Wednesday night service when I spoke. I'll tell you here in a minute. But John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I wrote a 7-page paper on that one verse in my Johannine study class in college. The professor loved it. He's a very good man. But I wrote 7 pages on the goodness of God on that one verse. All right, anyway. Verse 8. Herein is my Father. I'm just saying that because the goodness of God it's 7 pages worth, and more than. I had to stop. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you, and continue you in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now remember, we're operating, we're keeping commands because we love God. We're not loving God because of the commands we're keeping. We're doing it out of love. As I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, now these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's a strong statement, because Jesus Christ is about to go to the cross, give his life to the people he loved. So he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That, with this closing note, we're to walk, talk, operate, think, see every single thing we do, do it in the love of God. Our first life too short to be wasted with unforgiveness, with angst, with anger, hatred, with just not even, it doesn't even have to be those mean tones of words. It could just be indifferent towards someone, not caring good or bad towards someone. Oh, well, they're just somebody. The first life is too short to experience anything but love of God for people. No matter what they've done, no matter what you've done to that person. It can be hard to love someone when you've hurt someone. Because then it's almost like, why is your reasoning of love? Is that person saying, well, are you loving me just so I'll try and forget about what you did to me? You know, so you have to operate out of love in everything. Everything you do. From this day forward, make it a commitment. Walk in love. Talk in love. When you look on people, look at them, see how beautiful they are. Cherish them for who they are. 3 days leaving my band, when we go play places, we start off playing for 5, 10 people. It was worth it. We love those people. Those 5, 10 people were worth 3 hours of setting up, EQing, making it sound as good as we could. 8 years ago, it didn't sound that good, so we needed all the help we could get. But, we took that time because it was worth it. It's worth driving 2 hours for 30 people. They're worth it. Because I know if I get up there and I sing the songs God's given me, it's going to minister to them. They're going to feel good. And I'm telling you, it says in the scripture that it's through preaching. I think it says the vanity of preaching that we minister. Well, why? Why when I go somewhere and play, I get up and play 45, 55 minutes rock and roll music? Why does someone come and speak to me? Why does someone tell me about something that's troubling them? Something that they haven't told their parents? You know, we're talking about teenagers, young adults. Why does that person who cuts on themselves come talk to me and share their hurt with me? Why, when I'm there ministering for 45 minutes of just fun music, why does someone ask for me to pray with them? Because they see the love in me. They see why I'm operating here. And it might not be a good reason. I try to think about it. There's not really a good reason why you go, go talk to someone that just played 45 minutes of music about something really in-depth spiritual stuff. There doesn't have to be a good reason. It's just I'm there. I've made myself available to the Holy Spirit. I've done what he's given me, what I enjoy to do. I've done it in my fullest. I've loved on those people because I brought something to those people. I brought a sacrifice of my time, my energy, my finances to get those people. So this week, next week, this year, next year, walk in love, act in love, talk in love. Everything you say and do, let it be surrounded, filled with love. Let the love of God just permeate through you. If you don't start with love, the rest of the promises of God, they're not for you. Those promises of God are meant to operate out of love. Why? We said it 3 times. We're rooted and grounded in love. Our roots, our depths of us start with love. From that love, faith builds. For us to be filled with health so we can pray for other sick. We're filled with the goodness of God so we can pray for other people. We're filled with the riches of God so we can bless other people. We're filled with joy, so when we go in a workplace that might not be too joyful, we spread joy. We're filled with peace to minister to someone you might not know in the grocery store. I mean, Peter, he walked to and fro from the temple and people would line up so his shadow would fall on them because they would just receive healing. How much more can I, when I walk in a situation in a grocery store, I see someone, you know, I just feel less. I said, that person's buying groceries. I'm going to buy their groceries because I'm operating out of love. I don't have to know that person. I don't have to be the same color as that person. It doesn't have to be a man or woman. It don't matter who that person is. Don't have to look rich. Don't have to look. They could look wealthy, and I can give them. I mean, it don't matter what they look like. I'm gonna operate out of the Spirit and love. So in every situation, walk in love, talk in love, not just church, your job, your family. Hey, people that are in a family situation, I'm new to this. 3 months, 2 weeks, right? I'm new to this, but I can't come here. If I help with praise and worship, or 3 days leave, or speaking today, if I chewed out my wife, I can't chew out my wife and come talk to someone about here about loving people. I mean, that ain't right. So I got to start from the foundation up, loving on people. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry I went over a little bit, but you got to love it, right? Tell you what, let's stand up on our feet. We're going to close out in prayer. Amen. So everybody say rooted and grounded one more time. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you, Lord God. We thank you for the love which you have loved us with, Lord God, that it is true love. It is you, Father God. It never ends. It never subsides. It never deteriorates. It never decays. But your love is always there, Father God. It is always readily available. It is the seed that is sown and grows like the mustard seed to a tall, thick tree to where birds can perch on it, Father God. It is different from all other seeds. It is strong and it has life in it. Repeat this after me. Dear Father, I thank you for the love that you've loved me with. The love that's inside of me. As I walk and talk in my job, my church, my family, everywhere. Let that love from you that lives inside me come out of me. In my words, in my actions, in my thoughts, in my ideas, in everything I do. Let me love on people the way you love on me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.